My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Siyata Mobile, a company bringing Israel's cutting-edge R&D innovations to the critical world of first responder communications. The 9/11 tragedy exposed tremendous shortfalls in the first responder communications. The U.S. government created a nationwide cellular system called FirstNet. Siyata Mobile has the only dedicated in-vehicle device that is certified FirstNet ready. This disruptive technology minute has been brought to you by Siyata Mobile, trading symbol SYTA. The preceding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College. The two big elections, democracy itself, now on review in South America, in Latin America, in the New World in 2022. Not the U.S. midterms. That's not as big as the presidential election in Brazil and the presidential election in Colombia. I begin with Brazil because the polling right now is strongly in favor of a previous president, Lula da Silva, who spent time incarcerated and is now said to have been reawakened, renaissance. There are many words for it. He's got energy. He's 76 years old, is my memory, which I consider to be middle-aged by mention. So I'm not in any way dismissing his authority to recapture the presidency. However, the puzzle here and European polling, I speak with The Economist, heavily favor Lula da Silva. These are men and women who put dollars down. So this isn't about heart. This is about the head. However, Bolsonaro has things to talk about. And there's a lengthy piece most recently about how he's seeking to revive what has been explained to me as a statist economy in Brazil. Professor, the simple question, do Brazilians vote their pocketbook the same as the U.S.? And is that a determinative? Because Lula da Silva did not provide what you'd have to say a burst of GDP for his time earlier in the century.
Well, it's a great question, John. And Brazilians, like the U.S., are both very diverse countries with very diverse economies, in part vote their pocketbook, in part vote other things. And so when Lula da Silva first came in, previously, almost 2 decades ago, there was some concern that he was so far to the left. But in the end, part of the way that he won in that basically fourth attempt to win the presidency is he cast himself as somebody who would try to help the poor, which he did through a program called Bolsa Família, cash transfer program. But in general, during a time in which Brazil was getting a lot of money from its commodity sales, there was a lot of money to go around. He kept relatively good fiscal discipline. So he was relatively pro-market, even though he was very statist. Brazil has long been famous for protecting its industries, for having just horrible red tape and regulation. My business colleagues in Brazil refer to it as the Brazil cost. But certainly Lula ran as somebody who was going to not ruin the Brazilian economy, but try to make things a little bit better for the poor, et cetera, et cetera. This time around, the question is now if Lula comes back, and it's seen as highly likely he will win in October of this year. What does he come back as? And so, for example, just like in the United States, the center-left candidate Joe Biden came back a little bit older and maybe with a slightly different coalition. The question is Lula coming back a little bit older, but also having been put in jail and maybe with a more radicalized, more hard left PT coalition may not be the same Lula that people remember from before. And that's, I think, what scares a lot of investors.
And Bolsonaro, a man who is unpredictable, his presentation about the pandemic has been controversial. I mean to be diplomatic, because we're all now dealing with a different version of the pandemic, the Omicron version, which seems to be unstoppable, but at the same time, not associated with mass hospitalization and mass death. Is Bolsonaro supple enough to reposition himself as someone who is an economic candidate and not concerned with either Lula da Silva's strength, which is redistribution, we call that equity, and is Bolsonaro the man to talk about economics, because that would be an advantage in a contest with a man who is associated with socialism.
Well, Bolsonaro, even from the very beginning, had kind of a unique combination of social conservatism and Brazilian nationalism, but a relatively market orientation. And so, for example, one of the good things that Bolsonaro has done during his presidency is he has tried to really open up some of the statist oriented Brazilian sectors to more development. To say he never was able to fully fix some of the structural problems that Brazil had, for example, with its tax code and bureaucracy and things like that. He tried, but with the Brazilian Congress, didn't make a whole lot of headway. But what he was able to do relatively successfully is he was able to put forth a lot of public bids in terms of port concessions and highway concessions and other things, as well as auctioning off a certain parts of the state sector. Now, he can continue to run on that record, although at the same time, some of his statements on social issues tend to put off those in the Brazilian center. And so it continues to leave Bolsonaro that while his economic policies are seen as relatively good for the Brazilian business class, the question is, how far can he still take those economic policies? And moreover, will some of the ways in which he's offended the Brazilian center with his non-economic policies be able to overcome that? And really, what will Brazilians want to vote on? Will they vote on a inherent dislike of Bolsonaro in the polarization, or will they vote essentially their pocketbooks at the end of the day?
Quickly, Colombia. We'll have much to say about this during this winter and spring, because the legislative elections are in March, the presidential election at the end of May. A history question, Professor. Mr. Petro, who is running now, Gustavo Petro, ran before in 2018, and he wasn't the clear choice. There was said to be fear of him by the Colombia voting public, and Ivan Duque won in 2018. He is now very unpopular, and Petro is leading in the polls. Has the fear lifted of Petro's past? Has he convinced people that he's not going to go the way of Chavezistas in Venezuela? We have about a minute.
The fear is not lifted, John, but it's a question of which wins out. The fear of Petro in the left, which is very real for Colombians who have lived more than 60 years of civil war and organized violence. But at the same time, I think there is just a frustration and exhaustion among Colombians with the situation, everything from the Venezuelans to the violence to the failed peace accords, et cetera. How do Colombians choose to channel that? And so Petro has tried to rebrand himself as a centrist who can bring peace. At the end of the day, it remains to be seen whether Colombians will go the way of the Ecuadorians, who will choose somebody more to the center, like maybe a Sergio Fajardo, or will go with Petro just with a desire of getting Colombia to go in a different direction. But as we've seen in other places where people have closed their eyes and elected leftists, beware, you get what you vote for.
Right, right. Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.